Welcome back to What's Ailing America, the ultimate in reality radio. On this show, you will not only learn what is ailing America and the world, but you will also learn how to recognize the patterns used by the predators controlling our world. The ability to overstand and see the big picture is the critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to escape the living hell we find ourselves in. Regarding healthcare, this became self-evident to me in 1999 when I created the big picture of all diseases, which is the first diagram that can be found on both of my websites, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com, as well as drcarly.com. If you haven't yet done so, I suggest you print out those diagrams and listen to the YouTube videos posted below the diagrams of a conference I gave in Chicago 4 years ago explaining them. Facing the reality that the psychopaths which control our world have created a hell on earth intentionally is a critical step in bringing forth an anti-hell. Overstanding the simplicity of the master template of how this hell has been created makes the antidote equally simple. We don't need all the details. All that is necessary is for people of conscience to say no to their predators, to stop loving them, forgiving them, making excuses for them, and to stop paying cash for being harmed. It is my goal to give you the truth of what I have learned, to arm you with the confidence to ask the hard questions, which will not only cause the predators to run away, but will also cause those around you to face the monsters that have been destroying their lives. You will learn from my guests that there are many of us standing up. Silence is consent. Speaking the truth and asking hard questions in great numbers is the road to anti-hell. Bypassing religious beliefs that only some man in the sky can save us is very important, as religion prevents logic, reasoning, formation of a plan to save ourselves, and then taking action. For only acting on the truth will set you free. Believing the lies or doing nothing will enslave you. Confronting evil with documented truth and creating the emerging choices that Dan McCarthy has taught us about is all we need to do. Compromise with evil is impossible. And when evil is on the run, that's when we press harder. Whatever false beliefs you have about any subject, that is what is being used to control you. As Henry David Thoreau said, for every 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil, there is one striking at the root. Those with no conscience are predators. That is the root. Learning to see the master template of the predators' crimes against humanity, as well as how they use psyops operatives and people's beliefs to control them, will help people of conscience to destroy the root of the evil that has created this hell on earth. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support this work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites, which I really appreciate. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them and helping them escape from the death and disease being caused by the medical devils. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. Thanks to Ron at Dependable Voice, I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean toll-free. If you get a strange message that the number has been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but I use Skype primarily for international clients and radio shows, so please do not ask me to add you to my list so we can chat. I don't have time to chat. If you have something you want to talk to me about, email me or call me on the toll-free number. I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach people what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. There's a chat room on the OrionTalkRadio.com on my show page, and recent show archives are posted on the station as well. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at the LightOfDayRadioShow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. There are many ways to listen to the shows here on Orion, so check that out on the homepage. Please also support the Orion Network by donating on the homepage and especially buying a t-shirt so that you can be a walking advertisement and help spread the word about the station so that we can help to wake up the sheep. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 716-213-6816 or toll-free, thanks again to Ron, who has also donated a toll-free number to the station at 888-320-6151. Mysteriously, we've not been able to accept any callers for the last few weeks, and I realize it's just a problem with my show because I subbed for Tim Watson last Saturday in the morning, and I was able to get calls, and then when it came time for my show, all of a sudden the callers could not call in. Callers, if you're trying to call in, please do not call me on my home phone because I can't answer the home phone while I'm on the air. You can call me afterwards, or even better, email the station and let them know that you're trying to call in and you can't get through. I spoke to the owner of the station. He's done whatever he can do to deal with this. Interference is probably coming in at a higher level. So if worse comes to worse, you can always email me any questions you have. I can contact the guests and get the answers and then, you know, talk about it on the next week's show. Whatever the minions are doing, it's not going to work. We will find a way around it. But very important, our callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever is speaking. And we also do ask that listeners not use a toll-free number to listen to the show. I'm also very excited that I now also have a show out of the UK on These Changing Times Radio, .ning.com, and Times is T-I-M-E-Z, These Changing Times Radio, .ning.com, every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow my guest will be the wife of J.B. Campbell, who's been a guest on this show before, as I always refer to him. I found V from Vendetta, but his wife is also a warrior, another medical doctor who has been robbed of her license, and we'll hear about that tomorrow. The site and call-in numbers for that show are posted on my page on Sheldon Day's site as well, thelightofdayradioshow.com. One of the most important things you can do to protect yourself and your loved ones from the organisms being created by the mad scientists at the over 1,300 biowarfare labs in the U.S. alone is purchase a silver lungs colloidal silver generator. Go to the link section of reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com to learn how to obtain the silver generator I recommend and use personally for myself and all my pets. I cannot tell you how important this is, because, as I've mentioned many times, the Fraudulent Drug Administration is trying to take colloidal silver off the market. They've already labeled it as a pesticide. And so, of course, it's very important for us to, you know, protect ourselves so that we can actually have this at the ready as the over 1,300 biowarfare labs that are creating emerging viruses and other pathogens of all kinds continue to do so, because our very life is at stake. And this is very important, people. I can't tell you how important it is for you to have this amazing healing natural supplement that you can use yourself. You can give it to your pets, as I do every day. You can clean your vegetables with it. You can use it for, you know, cleaning your countertops of the salmonella that they're allowing into the food source, all kinds of things. So that's basically a very important first step that you can get and do in order to help yourself, you know, be protected. And then, of course, you know, you can get a consult, learn how to detox, all kinds of other things that you can do. Okay, on my show today, our guest is going to be Nancy Banks, MD. She was on my show on February 18th, another instance when we had an amazing interference. Dr. Banks was only on the show, I think, for about an hour and 15 minutes, and then the entire site shut down mysteriously. So we're going to try again today. Let me just briefly introduce Dr. Banks again, who I'm very grateful to join us again. She's a graduate of the Harvard Medical School, trained in surgery, obstetrics, gynecology, and gynecological oncology. She practiced general obstetrics and gynecology for 25 years. In addition, she earned an MBA in finance. She's written this most amazing book that I definitely suggest all of you get a copy of, entitled AIDS, Opium, Dying, The Deadly Virus of International Greed. Dr. Banks, thank you so much for agreeing to Give it another go today. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, good afternoon.
Okay, so I don't want to cover all the same information we did last time because there's so much information in your book. And one of the most important things that you bring out, which I was not aware of, although I'd kind of heard rumors that there was no such thing as HIV, but I've never seen anyone present the information, basically the proof of that, as well as you have. And as a matter of fact, on page 1X of Dr. Banks's book, she has factors known to cause false positive HIV antibody test results, and it's massive. It's actually 2.25 pages long of all the different things that can give false positive HIV antibody tests. And of course, this is very serious because once they give you a false diagnosis of HIV, then you get put on the cocktail. And of course, the cocktail of drugs is extremely dangerous. So if you could just, you know, go further on that, Dr. Banks, I would appreciate it. Give the listeners some information.
Well, Dr. Carley, as you know, that probably if anybody took a high school biology course knows that there are actually rules that you have to follow for isolating a bacteria which were found about.
Are you a frequent flyer business traveler?
And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is HIV fraud with my returning guest, Dr. Nancy Banks, MD. And I was not able to hear the music going into the break before the before we realized that we were in a break. So I just, if you could start over again, Dr. Banks, by explaining Koch's postulates and how those were not followed in this alleged determination of HIV as a virus.
Right. The we were talking about what isolation is of bacteria, which was updated in the 70s to include viruses, which are much smaller. And essentially what you have to do is if someone, say, has a pneumonia or a problem, a medical what you think is a bacterial problem, you essentially take some of that tissue from the person, you put it in a culture dish, you let it grow, and then you re-inoculate it into generally an animal model, and then you see if it creates the same or a similar disease, and then you isolate it again to see if it's the same bug. And you do with viruses, because they are so small, they require a few extra steps. And those steps essentially are spinning the virus down, taking a picture called an electron micrograph, and making sure that all you have is viruses rather than debris. Well, that was never done, and to this day they still don't have a picture of what they call an HIV isolate that would satisfy the criteria that were developed in the 70s at the Pasteur Institute in Paris. And so when I began to look for the original research about the isolation, if you go back to Montagnier's, he's the French researcher who won the Nobel Prize, and if you look at Gallo's work, he's the American researcher, you cannot find evidence that they isolated. What they did is what I call a witch's brew. They took cells from people who had an immune deficiency, and they put them with cancer cells, and then they added a whole lot of very oxidative materials. That's materials that stimulate and can destroy tissue. And then they, whatever they got from that brew, they called that the proteins. They said those were AIDS proteins. But how do you know if those proteins came from the cells of the AIDS patients or the cancer cells? And
right.
You don't. So that was the problem from the very beginning. The other thing that they said, that they identified an enzyme called reverse transcriptase. Now, that when they first identified this enzyme during the Nixon war on cancer, the researchers thought that this particular enzyme was unique to what they called cancer viruses or retroviruses. But they soon found that that was not the case. And even when Gallo and Montagnier did their work, they already knew that this particular enzyme was not unique to retroviruses. It's essentially a DNA repair enzyme. And so by claiming that they found this enzyme and that they found these proteins, they said that that's what they called HIV. So what we are doing now when people talk about HIV, they are not talking about a unique retrovirus that was isolated by the standards that these virologists set up themselves. They are talking about some conditions in a laboratory, in a culture, which do not satisfy those conditions. And that's why the HIV antibodies, when you take that test, they cross-react with so many different things, because they're truly, most of them have been shown to be antibodies to your own proteins. And people who are under oxidative stress, for various reasons, have elevated antibodies.
Exactly, and as a matter of fact, one of the things that you discuss, I don't remember if it's in your book, I think it is, or on your website, but basically the fact of all of these individuals that are being even put in jail and charged with crimes, you know, people that have been diagnosed with HIV and then are having unprotected sex or not warning their partners or whatever the case may be, you know, it's really amazing. I mean, the ramifications of this are quite startling.
Yeah, over 30 states have laws that make having unprotected sex, if you are HIV positive and not telling your partner, they make it a felony. And so people are spending up to life in jail for a crime that doesn't really exist, based on a test that even the manufacturers of the test. There are 35 antibodies test on the market, and none of those tests, if you really carefully read the inserts, say that you can use that test to definitively say that someone is infected with the virus. And they advise that the physicians who see these patients use their clinical judgment. And so the clinician, unfortunately, is left, because the issue here is not HIV, not HIV. The issue here is a change in the immune status of the patient. And for the clinician, you have to determine whether that immune status is something that is transient or something that is long-term, and exactly what that immune status change is. And that requires an entirely different set of criteria and a different approach to each individual patient.
Yes, and what about once people are diagnosed? I'm not aware of whether or not all states have mandatory treatment requirements, but I know that in some cases people are actually forced to undergo treatment with these toxic alleged anti-HIV cocktails, and this is very, very shocking, especially in the case of pregnant women that allegedly have HIV.
Well, first of all, people need to understand that retroviruses are a normal part of the human genome. About 8% of the human genome consists of retroviruses. And the human placenta is full of them. And so it's well known that these so-called retroviruses, which cross-react with this antibody test, are more common in pregnancy. And so pregnancy is actually one of the conditions that was found to be a problem with the HIV test. The other issue that I found, especially in researching this, and it's even on the CDC website, and way in the back on a footnote, they know perfectly well that more than 80% of the babies born to HIV positive mothers, if they are HIV positive at birth, will be HIV negative by the time they are 18 months. Now, this is very important for several reasons. One, because the claim by the CDC is once you have this virus, it's irreversible. So that clearly cannot be the case if 80% of these children become HIV negative. And why is that? It is because throughout history we have known that the mother passively transfers antibodies to the baby. Historically, we have known that these antibodies are actually protective. And that's why the breastfeeding has been recommended, because breastfeeding helps to protect the baby from organisms, probably a lot better than vaccines. And so the idea that you have to give drugs that are genotoxic to the mother and that can have nothing but harmful effects on these children who are never going to get sick anyway, to me, is absolutely criminal. And I think people are, the doctors who are doing this and recommending it, I think it's beyond what happened at Nuremberg.
Okay, two things I just want to mention. First of all, you kind of implied there saying that breastfeeding is more protective than vaccines. I suggest all of you go to YouTube and listen to Dr. Banks's excellent YouTube video on Nancy Banks on vaccinations, because in fact you are the only other MD that I know of that talks about vaccines as bioweapons, weapons of genocide. So I just want to clarify that you're not saying that vaccines are protective in the first place. But the second thing I just wanted to ask you, because I'm not aware of this, I was a surgeon, didn't have a lot to do with obstetrics, and when I was in medical school in the early 80s, that's when this whole AIDS scam was just starting to come out. Are they actually telling women that have been diagnosed with HIV not to breastfeed their babies? Because I know they're telling mothers now that, you know, the vaccines will work better if you don't vaccinate or if you don't breastfeed your babies, which is ridiculous. But is there some policy that mothers diagnosed with HIV should not breastfeed? Because that should
right.
be
they,
a
they, Go ahead. Yeah, they claim they, yes, because they again, let me make this clear. First, in order to say that you have a particular organism, you have to have isolated it. They've never isolated it. So what they're calling HIV are simply some proteins and an enzyme called reverse transcriptase. So when they say they have isolated HIV from breast milk or from semen, they're not saying that they've isolated a unique virus. They're saying that they have found evidence of what they're calling those proteins that they say are related to this virus that they never identified. I know that seems to be outrageous or confusing for people, but this is it's like the weather science now. It's by consensus and not by real scientific research. So they are telling women who are HIV positive not to breastfeed their babies. That's true.
Lovely. And of course, they're also treating these mothers, I'm sure, probably with the HIV drug cocktails during pregnancy as well. Is that not true?
Yeah, they are insisting that these women take these drug cocktails to the point that some of the women have died as a result of these cocktails. Celia Farber wrote a very good story about a woman who was told she was HIV positive during her pregnancy, was given these cocktails, got very sick, and was killed by the drugs as a result. And people also should realize that today in the United States, more people are dying from the consequences of these drugs than are dying from the so-called AIDS diseases. So that's very important. But the book, article by Celia Farber, I think was in Harper's Magazine. It's very well researched and well written. So I think that I would recommend people finding it. It still can be found on the internet. I don't know the name of the article, but it's in Celia Farber and it's in Harper's Magazine.
Okay, and have you been successful in helping any of these individuals, you know, charged with a felony of, you know, basically using a dangerous weapon that is sex HIV? Go ahead.
Yeah, we've been successful in 39 cases so far, and this is only just doing this for a little over a year. And that's for, you know, because when we first started doing it, people thought, you know, these people are crazy. But once we started winning cases, we're certainly getting more cases, because the onus is on the person who brings the charges to prove that HIV, in fact, is causing the problem, and that HIV test can be used to diagnose. But as I said, if you read the package inserts, the HIV test, there are two types of test. One is an ELISA, the other is a Western blot. The ELISA is sort of like a pregnancy test. It just tells you plus or minus, and the Western blot identifies the individual proteins. There are about 10 of them. And so the package inserts on the 35 tests that are on the market, none of them can be used to diagnose HIV. That's number one. Number two, there's the other test is called the viral load, and that viral load is supposed to be a test that measures the amount of HIV in the person's system. Now, the person who got the Nobel Prize for discovering the viral load test is part of the people who are considered dissidents, and he himself says that that test can't be used to make this determination, because you can't make the determination until you've isolated. His name is Carey Mullis, M-U-L-L-I-S. And I sort of lost my train of thought there.
Well, I was asking you about helping people that have been charged with a felony, so you're talking about...
The other test is the CD4 test. They look at the lymphocytes, because the claim is that the HIV virus supposedly attacks and kills these lymphocytes. But the problem is, after 30 years, they still cannot find what they're calling HIV virus in the lymphocytes. Furthermore, since the 1980s, they have known perfectly well that there are subsets of these lymphocytes, which we'll call Th1 and Th2. In people who go on to develop an immune deficiency, the cells that are deficient are the Th1. The Th1 are involved in something called cell-mediated immunity. The Th2 are involved in humoral immunity, and they make antibodies. And we know that the Th2 system is working, because in people who are HIV positive, they have elevated antibodies. So they don't have a decrease in their total immune system. The ones who actually go on to develop immune problems have a problem with their cell-mediated immunity. Now, this is the kicker. What they are calling HIV, they can't even find in the Th1 cells. They can only find it in the Th2 cells, which are not depleted.
So how did they get away with this in the first place? I mean, this really irks me, because we have the same situation going with all the parents charged with medical neglect for not vaccinating their children. They've never proved that vaccines are safe or effective, but yet we have all these cases going on where people are dragged to court and sometimes lose their children. How is all this fraudulent science allowed to be used against people?
It's easy. You take a group of young people in medical school, and you train them to think the way you want them to think. And I think you and I both know that the medical schools are pretty much run by the pharmaceutical industry. Not only that, when you come out of medical school, almost all of the conferences that you attend to get your CME credits, which you are required to have on an annual basis, are run by pharmaceutical companies. And so a lot of the good research is being done, but unless you are able to do your own read the literature, which is, and all of this is in the literature. I'm not citing anything that's not in the medical literature. All of this is there. It is not going to be focused on because it is not money-making for the pharmaceutical companies. Selling drugs is what they do. And if they have to create a disease and if they harm people, that's a secondary. That's sort of like, what did they say in the war zone? It's collateral damage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the object is to make a profit.
Which is so evil. I mean, this is why I'm so grateful to have you out there speaking the same words that I've been talking about for 15 years. This is what people have to wrap their heads around. And this whole Obamacare thing, as they're trying to bring this forth, people believe that the Supreme Court's going to rule against the individual mandate. You know, I'll eat my hat if that actually happens, because, of course, this is another mechanism of control that people will not only be forced to get insurance, but once you get insurance, you will be forced to get HIV tests, vaccinations, yearly mammograms. They're going to make you do whatever they want you to do in order to keep your insurance. So this is like another level that they're stooping to, and that's why it's so important to wake up the people.
Yeah, it's hard for people to understand, you know, because people say, well, you know, isn't this having insurance a great idea? And the answer is, once you have the government in your insurance, they can then paying for it, they can tell you what they want you to do and how they want you to do it. And I think that, for example, you have to look. I've just been doing some research on this woman Hamburg, who is the head, who is Obama's pick to head the FDA.
Yeah.
And now this woman comes from a medical supply company by the name of Henry Schein. This is the company. And she was on the board of that company. She served in the Clinton administration, then she went to that company to serve on the board. And her husband also is on, he's a Wall Street, one of those bond people. So now she comes back into the Obama administration, and what does she do? She immediately works to make it look as if mercury in amalgams is not harmful to people. And so that's, and so not only that, she worked to sort of remove that information from the FDA website. She keeps contact with the company from which she came, and the president of the company writes to her, oh, you've done a good job. And not only that, she was supposed to get rid of her stock and her options. She got rid of her stock, she kept her options, and so she made thousands of dollars from her stock options in this company as a result of her ruling at the FDA.
And this is typical, the revolving drawer between FDA and the drug companies. This is such a glaring conflict of interest. Like you said, they're supposed to get rid of things. They don't get rid of things, and nothing is done. And this leads to crimes against humanity on a global scale. And it's just shocking to the conscience of people with a conscience to realize that this is allowed. I mean, I go crazy every time I listen to C-SPAN, and I'm hearing them talk about other governments, Pakistani government, North Korea, how corrupt these governments are. What a joke. I mean, in my opinion, there is no government more corrupt than the United States government.
Well, the corruption, you know, I think since the 2000 selection, the corruption has become so obvious and in your face. I mean, in the past, they at least had some, they tried to hide it, like during the Iran-Contra business. But they don't try to hide it anymore because they don't, I think that they don't care. I mean, once they stole that election, it's like, we're going to do what we want to do. Then they had the 2008 bank bailout. They don't care because they think the American people are just going to continue to do whatever they say, and they've pacified the people with fluoride in the water, so, and all these other, this nonsense on television, and with the dumbing down of the, Yeah, the psych drugs and the dumbing down of the schools. So I think they think that there's not going to be a reaction. But I have news for them. The American people are not as dumbed down and stupid as they think. And there certainly is a subgroup of people who are beginning to wake up from what I call medical tyranny.
Big time, big time. And we're running out of time so fast. I know you can only join us for the first hour. I did not want to forget to ask you a very important question that's been eating away at me since I learned your information. But there's that pesky music again, so I'll ask you the question about the vaccines. What are they using to make their HIV vaccine after the break? Stay tuned, folks.
Okay.
We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is HIV fraud with my special guest, Dr. Nancy Banks. I want to mention her book again. I strongly suggest all of you get this outstanding book, AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire, The Deadly Virus of International Greed. She talks about the special virus cancer program in this book. She even talks about silent weapons for quiet wars, which I've discussed many times on this show, but I don't know of any other medical doctor that has the backbone to speak about this fraud of how these silent weapons are being used to control us. And this is, of course, what the people have to wake up to, is how the talking heads on television are basically leading them down another path, and especially how the whole Nobel Peace Prize situation has been corrupted. I mean, I can't think of anything more insane than for these two scientists to get the Nobel Prize for discovering HIV when there is no such proof. Perhaps only Obama getting the Peace Prize before he went and bombed Libya. But it just goes to show how this all works. I know.
I think it's for... It's like the Oscars. These people make these horrible movies, and then they give themselves awards for making horrible movies. And I think that the quality of art and sciences has deteriorated significantly. But let's just talk about these so-called the vaccines that they want to make for HIV. Well, first of all, let's just talk a little bit about the idea of vaccines, because the theory is that you take a little bit of the virus and that's not harmful, and that you inject that into the person, and the person will make antibodies, and so their antibodies will be elevated, and in that way the antibodies will protect them from any future damage from this particular organism. That is breaking down, which I'm sure you've probably talked about in the past, that whole theory. But that's the issue. That's the theory. So now you already have people whose antibodies are elevated, because that's the HIV antibody test is an antibody test, and it's positive in people who have elevated antibodies. So now if you give people a vaccine, an HIV vaccine, is going to elevate their antibodies. So how are you going to, if you give somebody a vaccine that's going to elevate their antibodies, how are you going to tell if that person is has been infected with what they're calling HIV, or if they've just had the vaccine, because the vaccine is doing essentially what they're saying that this killer virus does.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
So how crazy is that? So what they're doing is that they're taking these proteins, which they are calling HIV proteins, and that's how they're making you know, these snippets of proteins, which they say are HIV proteins. And that's how they're making their vaccine. And so that's why, you know, that's why every vaccine trial has failed, and they will continue to fail. Because, I mean, the idea that you're going to give somebody a vaccine that will make them HIV positive when you're trying to prevent them from becoming HIV positive has to be some of the craziest thought process that anybody can even come up with. And why the doctors who have gone through 4 years of medical school can't figure that out, it's beyond me.
Well, I know why, because first of all, in medical school, as I'm sure you experienced as well as I, you're so nutritionally deprived, sleep deprived, just, you know, memorizing facts as spit out in exams. There's no time for critical thinking. And then once you go into practice, basically it's just a matter of, you know, seeing 15, 20 patients an hour so that you can pay your staff to fill out the insurance forms. There's no time to actually do any of your own research, not to mention the fact the ramifications of what happens if you do, if you speak out, because the powers that be don't like that. And this is one of the things that I'm so disgusted with. I'll be publishing my book this year, How Did the Hippocratic Oath Become the Hypocritic Oath, because it's so disgusting to me how our profession is basically just selling out everything to the government, to Big Pharma. You know there has to be lots of doctors that have figured things out, maybe not to the degree that we have, but certainly they smell a rat. Yet they continue to comply so that they can, you know, basically have a Mercedes in their driveway.
Well, the thing that bothers me is that, the pharmaceutical industry is a business. They didn't take an oath, but the physicians did take an oath. But the thing that is bothersome more than anything is that how the physicians have become instruments of the state in trying to enforce laws that don't even exist. For example, turning patients in who don't want to have their children vaccinated or who don't want to put their children on these toxic drugs. That's not the doctor's role is to advise. The patient's role is to take the advice or not to take the advice, but that is the right of the patient. It's called freedom. And that's the whole point of this Obamacare. There will be no freedom of choice involved. You will do what the government says. And I think that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about informed choices. That's an informed consent. And that means that the patient has the right to have all the information that is currently available in order to make an informed choice. It is not the doctor's responsibility to make a choice for the patient. It's the doctor's responsibility to have the information to inform that patient of their options. And it's then the patient's job to say, do I want this or don't I want that? That is it.
Well, first of all, they're unable to inform them of their options because I'm sure you didn't have any more training in natural therapies than I did. The word homeopathy, for example, was never mentioned. And after I reversed two conditions that I had, one of which was a non-union fracture of my foot, they wanted to do an open reduction. They wanted to put pins and plates in my foot. And I took the homeopathics Arnicans and Phytomin. Miraculously, the foot healed. And that's when I realized, oh, now I know why they didn't mention homeopathy in medical school. So they can't give informed consent. That's number one. But second of all, as you so rightly mentioned, it's actually in the Hippocratic Oath. I don't have it in front of me, but there's something in there that we all raise our right arms and swear to about keeping, you know, our patient's business secret. And look what's happening now with electronic medical records. As a matter of fact, if people actually read the information, the documents they have to sign when they go to an office that's going to be covered by insurance, it basically says in there that these records can be released to any governmental agency. So they're actually forcing physicians to violate their Hippocratic Oath. And I don't understand why there hasn't been a rising up of physicians who do have a conscience to say, wait a minute, you know, that's a violation. And then when you get in the hospital, of course, it's even worse. You have to sign documents that basically say the hospital can do anything that they deem in your best interest. So you actually become a prisoner once you get there. And we've had lots of instances lately of women actually having their children stolen from them by child predator services because they may refuse a vaccine or they don't want to get the vitamin K shot or whatever the case may be. They're just coming in and abducting the children. And the doctors are the ones calling CPS. This is what blows my mind. They have become monsters.
Yeah, they have become enforcers for government-mandated health care rather than being the patient advocate. They have unwittingly become the government's advocate. And so it's left to the individual to inform themselves and and to make a decision, and this is what I always told my patients during obstetrics, you gotta decide who your pediatrician is going to be before you have the baby. You don't want to wait until you get into the hospital, and then you end up with a pediatrician who's not going to work with you with what your needs and desires are for your baby. And more and more, people have to plan ahead, which is, you know, in this world, people just sort of don't seem to be able to do that, but they've got to think about it. And I used to try to encourage my patients to do that. So that's number one. Then you've got to see if that pediatrician is willing to support what your needs are. But also, you need to, when you talk to the doctors, if you can find someone who will work with you, try not to do it in a confrontational way. And if a doctor doesn't want to work with you, just walk out of the, fire that doctor.
Exactly.
Because eventually you may be able to find one who will work with you, and so by the time you get to the hospital, you don't have to have a confrontation with the doctor who's assigned to you or the nurses.
Exactly, and that's one of the things that really amazes me is that parents will spend months preparing the nursery. But do they do any research about vaccines? Do they do any research about pediatricians? You know, who is out there? Because actually, that's one of the good things that's happened. It's now become a marketing tool of pediatricians to allow their patients who have done their homework to not vaccinate. I'm hearing more and more of that all the time. That's why I always tell people to call me. You know, go to your health food store, go to a chiropractor, ask who's in your area that's not going to force you to get vaccines if you don't want to, because more and more of them are doing that. Okay, there's the break for the middle of the show. Thank you so much, Dr. Banks. I am so proud to know you and so glad to know you're out there doing your work. And I consider you a very important person to help change things and, you know, protect the patient.
Well, thank you, and thank your listening audience. Bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
I'm your host, Jimmy X, talking about industrial hemp production and that it would be the revolution America.